Good morning, Brian. Masechet Sanhedrin, Kafchet Amud Aleph 28a. Top of the page. We began yesterday in New Mishnah learning about the relatives that are disqualified from being witnesses. Possibly also, or Kal Vachomer, also disqualified from being judges. Mishnah gave us a whole long list. We're going to see later on in the Gemara there's a machloket where there's 24 or there's 32 different types of relative altogether that are hassle, disqualified. Anyway, there's a long list. The Gemara now wants to know, where do we learn that from? Right, the first question, the Gemara, where do we learn that from? So we started that question yesterday, at the beginning of the Gemara. What's the source of the law that says that you can't be a relative? Why not? What's wrong with being a relative? Who says a relative is going to lie? So we don't decide halacha by logic. We decide halacha by Hashem telling us in the Torah what his rules are. So we need to find a source. So the source is in the Torah. So we found the opening source is not the end of the story, but the original source that we found was that the sons are not put to death on the word of their fathers, on account of their fathers, and the fathers not on account of their sons. So that was that's the
Mishnah Makot.
Mishnah Makot too?
Yeah.
Fair. So we learned from there. But that's not the complete story. We're going to see now. The Gemara, now at the top of the page, Kaf Chet Amud Aleph, says, okay, Ashkachan Avot Lebanim. Okay, so now you told me about sons and fathers. Ubanim La'avot. And the other way around too. The sons aren't put to death on account of the fathers, and the fathers not on account of the sons. Okay. But the question is, before we move on, the question is, what about the rest of the relatives? So now I've got a source in the Torah, sons and fathers, fathers and sons. So maybe the Torah just means that you can't testify against your father and your father can't testify his son. That's what it means. That's it. Son and father. Well, how do we suddenly extrapolate to all these other 24 different relatives? So, let's see. The first thing we need to understand is when we said that the sons can't testify against the fathers and the fathers can't testify the sons, we say avot ubanim. We didn't say av and ben. We didn't say that a son is not put to death on account of his father, the singular. We said avot ubanim in the plural. So what do I learn from that? So already before I even get to this stage, even just from Avot and Banim, that's Av and Ben. The Torah taught me Av and Ben. So I know father and son can't testify against each other. And the Torah actually taught me Avot and Banim. What's Avot and Banim? Avot means two fathers, at least, minimum, and two sons. What's the relevance? If this is exactly the same as this, so you haven't told me anything new, but you told me this father's not allowed to testify against his son, and this father's not allowed to testify against him. So it obviously doesn't mean that, because it doesn't help you. That is the same as that. So what does it mean, Avot Ubanim? It means where these are brothers. So Avot Ubanim already by itself includes this. This is what we know from the word Avot Ubanim, Ubanim, whichever it is. Avot Ubanim, right? That's what we're learning from that. But that's what we've got so far in the Torah from that passage. But the fathers can't testify for the sons, and the sons can't testify for the fathers, which means that not only do we have he can't testify him and he can't testify him, we also have he can't testify against him, and he, same thing, he can't testify against him, uncle, nephew, we also now have included in that prohibition of disqualification. Okay? So far so good. We'll go step by step, right? That's the next step now. That's included in what about Rambanim. You can see that in the Rashi, the first Rashi. Try and see it in the first Rashi. The first Rashi says, Ruven Leven Shimon Dahainu Achi Aviv. Right? Ruven, this is Ruven and this is Shimon. In Rashi's language. Ruven Shimon. Right? Ashkan Abot Banim. Rashi says we found that Ruven Leven Shimon Hainu Achi Aviv.
Okay, but can that be about father and grandfather?
We've got son and father.
Yeah, son, grandfather,
son and father.
Grandson.
No, we only got son and father. We haven't got another third generation, either down or up. You're right, it would be a son, would be if you have a grandfather.
You're
right. So you could try and make a deal that father means any father, but then when you stop, the Gemara is going to show you only go to a certain, right? Otherwise, you're going to go to all generations. And apparently, it doesn't do that. Once you get to your great grandfather, you're allowed, apparently, I think, you're allowed to testify against your great grandfather. There's no relationship of provim that you're prevented from testifying against your great grandfather.
And of course, brother can't testify against brother.
Brother cannot. Right. Yes. Because that's also put in here in this prohibition. Like, if we're saying that he can't testify against him, then for sure he can't testify against him. That's closer. So what we've got covered so far are fathers, sons, uncles,
nephews
and brothers, right? They're all included in that picture.
So that means also nephew cannot testify against nephew.
No, so that's the question now. I was going to say, okay, so how do I know he can't testify against him?
Right, that's next.
That's what we don't know. So far, we've got avot to banim. So avot to banim has to be that relationship. We don't yet have, the Gemara is going to ask now, what about this relationship? Avot to banim, the Torah says, you're not allowed to do on banot, and banim to avot. But it doesn't say anything about banim to banim. Banim to banim. That relationship, we're going to have to learn out somewhere else.
Let's just say avot to avot, let's just say father to father.
This brother's bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's requested. So the Gemara says that's from a Kal v'chomer. If you're going to say that you can't testify against him, for sure that's a closer relationship. The Torah says specifically, this one can't testify against his nephew, and nephew can't testify against the uncle. And for sure, Kal v'chomer, that one's disqualified. He's a close relationship. You can't have a Kal v'chomer with this. Why not? Because this is further away. A cousin is much further away than a nephew.
Than an uncle.
Yeah.
Than an uncle.
Yeah. His relationship to him. He's down, his relationship is via the father. He's a step down. This is one with relationship 1, 2, 3. In closeness. His father is his closest relationship.
You mean.
Then to his father's brother, and then his brother has a son. That's another step down.
And that's spiritual.
Really?
Physical.
Physical, I mean.
Cousins are usually same age and closer than they are to the uncles.
I see what you mean. Sociologically, I know. But in terms of relative, we're talking about, not in terms of like who might be friends who go to the pub together, but in terms of closeness genealogically, he's like, so here we're taught fathers to sons. We're not taught brothers, but we learn that from a Kabbalah comment. For sure, if he's disqualified, then he will be too.
I start with grandfather and grandmother. So they have two friends, they have grandchildren.
So a grandfather only has a son first. Right? He has a son. So that's his son.
And
his sons. So it doesn't go sons and sons, it just says son. Otherwise, you're right. That's not what the
learned
kids
are here. Let's say we say, Abraham and Isaac, Yaakov, our father. And we don't say our grandfather.
Yeah, but the problem is, if we do that, then when we have Achi Avot, then it's certain it's the whole family. It's the whole point, because you're still getting. Everybody's going to be relative. We are all very nice, but no one's going to be testifying in court. Because. No, but it doesn't help when you want to try and bring a claim. Right, there's no one left to.
The question I have is brother to brother. Why do you need a Kalvah Homer when it's staying in the Mishnah? One's brother is example.
Yes. So you need a Kalvah Homer from the. Because we're looking for a source. Everything that's written in the Mishnah is the
synopsis.
No, it's the if you like, it's the how do you say it? It's the expression of the law.
Right.
But the Gemara was aware. Where's that found in the Torah?
Okay.
So we need to go back behind the Mishnah to find what the source is in the Torah, and we don't have. Right. So the Mishnah says brothers.
There was also somewhere else. I remember earlier that we covered it too. As exempt, or maybe in Malchus, I forget where.
It might have been mentioned somewhere else, but we didn't have a source over there. The source is over here.
Right. Okay.
This is the Torah source for how we know these laws.
Are you sure it wasn't in Malchus?
It might have been in Malchus, but not with this. It might have just mentioned the fact that there was a brother testifying, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we can learn out from it. They're using it from this source for how I know that he's disqualified. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ashkachan Avot Lebanim. So we now found the source for Avot Ubanim. Ubanim Lavot. Right? The fathers can't testify against the sons, and the sons can't testify against the fathers. That's that position so far. And now it says, sorry, V'kol Shechen Avot Lahadadeh. And all the more so, Avot Lahadadeh. Kol Shechen, not Kol Shechen. Kol Shechen Avot Lahadadeh. The fathers, each one to the other. Kosher. So now the question is, Banim Levav Banim Minala. Right, that's this question we just mentioned. Right? How do I know that a cousin can't testify against a cousin? Where does that come from? Right, that I don't yet have. Banim Levanim. Yeah? Okay. So the Torah, so the Gemara tells me how I learned that out. Im ken, lichtov, if so, meaning if so in the negative, if they weren't able to testify for each other, sorry, if they weren't disqualified, im ken, lichtov kra, Lo yumtu avot al ben. My banim, afilu banim lahadadeh. Why does the Torah say avot ubanim in the plural? We really only needed the avot in the plural to bring us this scenario. So why does it say avot ubanim? So banim to include the ben against ben. They could have just said ben, the singular, avot ben. So banim in the plural now adds in to our list cousins.
Necessarily.
No? Why?
You might assume it's only an uncle where the uncle doesn't have a son.
Might assume.
Could
If it doesn't say banim,
yeah.
Or if it says ben, it might mean that it doesn't include an uncle who doesn't have a son.
It doesn't include an uncle,
one of the fathers, doesn't have a child.
It doesn't include if his brother doesn't have a child.
Child, it means that the son is very, very close to both fathers.
So,
but if he didn't have a, if he did have a son, he might be less close to the uncle.
Maybe, but then that brings in sociological issues. We're sticking with genealogical. I hear. Okay.
So that brings us to now that position. Okay? So far, so good. Gemara moves forward. Ashchem banim lahadadei. So now we found the banim, the sons, meaning the cousins, one to another. Banim la'alma minalan. How do I know that the sons may not testify against the others? What does that mean?
Okay, there's a footnote 6.
Yeah. Ah, Yofi. Tov. So it means like this. How do I know now that the sons, or in fact any of them, it doesn't have to be sons, he picks sons as the example because we were talking about sons, but any of them cannot testify together? There's another rule, a separate rule. We've been talking so far about the fact that one of these people can't testify against the other. Like, one's a litigant and one's a witness, right? One's a judge and one's a litigant. But now we're saying they not only is that disqualified, but also even if there's no one else related to them in the case, right, they're not testify against a relative, you can't have two brothers being the two witnesses.
You don't remember that in Marcos?
Yeah, we didn't cover it, but we mentioned it. There were two brothers being witnesses in a case over there. Right? But here we've got the source for how you know. Because so far we know that you're not allowed to testify one against the other. Why not? Because it says the sons can't kill the fathers, so to speak, and the fathers can't kill the sons. That means witnessing against him. Right? So they can't be witnesses against him. But how do I know you can't be two witnesses together? Why not? Because the first case, you have a problem, sporically, right? You might say, well, he's biased. He's going to lie because it's his father. Right? Understand, but if they've got two witnesses together, two brothers, they've got no reason to lie. They don't know the good, they don't know the guy in the box. There's no reason for them. Why should I disqualify two relatives, two brothers, to any other relatives from being the two witnesses in the case? You're right. So they're family, but there's no reason. So I wouldn't have known that.
No. When two brothers witness,
yeah. So they're not allowed. They're disqualified. We're going to learn now. They're not allowed.
Yeah, but one is disqualified.
Who?
You learn from one.
No, not the brother of someone else. It means that the people in the case, they don't know. They don't know anyone.
Okay.
They just happen to be, right? Two brothers are in a makolet, and someone comes in and robs, and the two brothers happen to watch it, and they can't witness because they're two brothers.
No,
can't be witnesses.
On a similar case, we covered earlier where you have two sets of witnesses testifying against individual witnesses saying that they're robbers or thieves or whatever. Can the two brothers be sets of two separate witnesses? Then when you have a brother and another person that testifying against one witness.
In the sugya coming up, we're going to see that example.
Okay.
Top. So here we have the question of whether or not any of these people that we know are disqualified, they can be witnesses together. Can they witness together? Can they be the two witnesses? And they're not related to anyone else in the case. Right, so the Gemara says...
Not necessarily two brothers.
Not necessarily, yeah, any of this. What happened?
Combined?
Any person who's on the list, any of these,
Father, sons,
right? Any of, like, him and him together,
him and him, right? Everyone we've got on our list,
they also can't be together in the witness box. Right? How do I know that? So we learn from the case of Zomamin. Back to Zomamin. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama. Rabbi Bar Chama says like this. Savrahu. We learn it from a Savra. We reason it out. We reason out the learning. Yeah?
His name Chama before?
Rabbi Bar Chama? Yeah, he comes up a lot. Rabbi Bar Chama? What was he doing before? Well, in the story of the... That was with Reish Galusha. That was Bar Chama. No, it wasn't Rami Bar Chama. It was just someone called Bar Chama. Not necessarily Rami Bar Chama, but well remembered. Good morning, Rabbi Akiva. Tov. Okay, so we learn out from a reasoning. What's our reasoning? Like this, Kitatanya. We learned in a brisa. Ein ha edim na sin zomamim. You might remember this brisa. We learned it makot. Ein ha. Does it bring here the makot reference? Tov. Anyway, ein ha edim na sin zomamim. Ad she zomu shnehem. Edim zomamim. We learned in the second parak, I think.
Hey,
I would bet. Right, we learn that you can't be a Zomim witness unless both of them are made Zomim. So what's our case? Two people come along and say, we saw the murder, and he did it, I was there, I saw him shoot him in the head, whatever it is, and I've got two witnesses. And then two new witnesses come along, and they say, one of those guys was with us on that evening, that night, he was with us, he's lying. He's not made a Zomim witness. Unless his co-witness is also zomified, doesn't have to be at the same time, can be zomified by another pair, but it has to also be zomified. If not, he's just a lying witness, right? We disbelieve his testimony, right? We discount the testimony and the guy gets off. But we don't give him the punishment of zomamin. We don't do to him what he tried to do to the accused. Only if both of them, then they get that punishment of doing what they tried to do. Right? Why? Well, one of the reasons is that we can't punish him because of what he tried to do, because he wouldn't have done it. Meaning, there has to be two of them lying together, because otherwise it's not... Him by himself is not enough. Him by himself could not have caused the... accused to be whatever, get the punishment he was going to get. There has to be two of them, right? Or 100, or however many, right? So however many are in the count, right? Because if one of them is top.
Now, we covered earlier,
yes,
that if a Zomamin witness, if someone's convicted as a Zomamin witness, he can't be a witness or a judge,
yes,
in any other case.
Correct. Very good.
Now, if it's just one person, he can't be his own witness.
Right, so he's not his own witness.
Can he be disqualified as a witness or a judge? Or do they simply take a large grain of salt when I'm listening to him?
That's a good question. So we'll have to look over there where before it says Zomamin witnesses can't be disqualified, whether it means a witness who is disqualified in court by Zomamut, or where there's two of them. It's a good question. It may be that there has to be two of them, and they're not called a Zomim witness until there's both of
right,
them.
Right, that's what it said.
But
I'm just wondering,
but not necessarily.
It would simply just...
Yeah, because here it says, "Ena dinas in Zomim aj share yuzmo shnehem." So it could be that then he's not a Zomim witness. So he's called a lying witness, a false witness, someone who's been testified against, but he's not called a Zomim witness.
A Rasha?
Yeah. Is he called a Rasha? So according to Abai, anyone who would get Makot. So does a Zomamin witness get Makot?
It's only one.
So if Rambam said that a Rasha is someone who gets Makot. So do we give Makot to a single Zomamin witness instead of giving him the punishment? We know that in the case, what was the first case of the Mishnah? The first case of the Mishnah at the beginning of Makot was that if you have Zomim witnesses, that you can't give the punishment that they tried to give to the wife for a different reason, right? Because he's a Ben Cohen or whatever.
Right.
So in that case, you give them Makot.
Right.
That's the opening of Makot.
Right.
But what we didn't say there is, if you have only one Zomem witness, and therefore you can't give him the punishment because he's only one, do you give him Makot? I don't know. Do we say that? Was that in Daf Hey? If it says over there, there's only one of them, and therefore we give him Makot. So then, according to Abai, he's a Rasha, and he would be disqualified anyway. He doesn't need to be a Zomem witness. He just has to be a Rasha. So we would disqualify him anyway for being a single witness that is disqualified. Would make sense. It would make sense that we give Makot to... Yeah, because he's at least broken also not to bear false witness. I can't but what we said, that's a mitzvah that asks a mitzvah. It's a lav without an assay. A lav without an assay we don't give Makot on. Maybe that was an exception. Top, we need to review Makot to see whether or not we give it Makot. So there we go. You need to know Makot in order to know.
No, there's no positive commandment. So you have to give
Makot. No, a lav shein bo maaseh, we don't give Makot. Only a lav sheyesh bo maaseh. So witnessing is a lav sheyesh bo maaseh because we say that speaking is not maaseh. Yeah, he's a bad man. He's a bad man, but he's
two witnesses.
Okay, so back into our question. So what are we trying to find out? We're trying to prove from the cases Zomamim whether or not these two can testify together. That was a question. Can two witnesses be in the same witness box together? And along comes Rami Bahama and says, I'll prove it to you, the answer, from the case of Zomamim. How does Zomamim help? So that's what we're learning now. That they cannot. That they cannot testify together. How does Zomamim, what's the relevance of Zomamim? So we're going to learn from Zomamim. It's very nice learning. Let's see like this. Now, Isal Kadata, if you would have thought, Banim La'alma Kesherim, if you would have thought that sons, or any two really, we're bringing sons because it's easier than spelling them all out, sons are able to testify against others, right? Sons together can be in the witness box. If you would have thought that they can be, Nimsa Eizomem Neherag Be'edot Achid, it would turn out that an Eizomem is killed on the witness testimony of his brother. What does that mean? Do you want to explain what you mean?
That a son can't kill a father.
Okay, so?
So they can't serve together, so that they wouldn't be in this situation where they're being in the zone of me and they're causing their father or his son to die.
How is he causing the other one? How's he causing the other one to die?
Let's say the father gives testimony, right? And then the son comes along.
Tell me, who are the two witnesses?
Father and son.
The witnesses are the father and son. Okay, go on.
So the father gives testimony.
Yeah.
And he's not domain yet. I mean, he hasn't domain with the guy yet because there's only one witness so far. And the son comes along, and he bears witness. And on the account of the son's witness, they're both killed. They both have to be
they're
killed.
They're both lying.
They're both lying, but the father gets a death penalty only because of his son's testimony.
Yeah, fair. Very good. So that's what he's saying here. Because we have a rule that they don't get the punishment unless they're both zomimim, it turns out that the reason he is getting killed, for example, or getting punished, either killing is just an example, but any punishment, the reason he's getting punished is on account of the other witness. So effectively the logic here the Gemara is saying is that just like Avot Banim, that you can't be killed on account of your son or your brother or whatever. So here it's as if you're being killed on account of your brother or son because of his testimony. Without his testimony, wasn't against you, but his testimony is what caused you to be in that position, to be now killed.
That's true of all others, not
only Father and Son? Yeah, because once we extrapolated Avot and Banim, the law of Avot and Banim, that Avot can't go against Banim and Banim can't go against Avot, we've now said that rule applies to all of these relationships. And therefore, if any of those two relationships are together in a box, they're effectively testifying, so to speak, against the other.
This is the reason why they're not coming together.
Yes. That's the reason why they can't be together, because it turns out from the case of Zomamim, not from any other case, but in the case of Zomamim, because additionally we know that every witness has to be able to be a Zomim witness, meaning you can't have testimony if you can't Zomify them. So every witness has the potential to be Zomified. So because this applies to every witness, so they're disqualified from any from being in any case. The two together.
So that means that those that are testifying for Zoman, against Zoman, can't testify if they're relatives.
Yeah, the two new guys can't also be relatives. Can't testify against them.
So
right, if the two witnesses come and testify in a case, just random witnesses, then the two new witnesses who come and make them zombified can't be their relatives. You can't say, that's my brother, and he was with me in a coffee shop at the time. It's my brother, he can't witness to make him a zombie. Okay, so, and therefore we see, so what do we see? So far we see from here a proof. We're going to reject it in a minute, but so far we see this is a proof which shows us why two relatives can't also testify together. Okay? Amale Rava. Rava is going to make a problem with this. Rava says to him, to Rami Bahama, V'letanech, according to your reasoning, Haditznan, we learned in a Mishnah, something else, I'm going to show you a Mishnah which blows your reasoning out of the water. Wonderful. Very nice. This is a nice bit of... you've got to be a real tanner to come up to find the halakhic problem which destroys your argument. Right? It's a chokhmah. Like, this is it's a nice argument. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. And then along comes some... and knocks it all out. Okay. So what's his reasoning? The Tanakh, so he brings a case like this. Not only does he bring a case, it's in the Mishnah. The Mishnah brought a case. I've got another Mishnah. What's the Mishnah say? So we have a different Mishnah. Shlosha Achim. Three brothers. Let's just look at our Mishnah. Three brothers. Ve'chan mitzteref imahem. What are we talking about? So we're talking about a case like this.
Mishnah. This is the Mishnah which is going to destroy this previous argument. Right? Three brothers. B1, B2, and B3. Three brothers. And they each testify together with...
someone else.
Someone else from the marketplace, Rashi says. A guy from the marketplace. We'll call him...
Lapid.
NR. We're calling him NR, non-relative. Right, Mr. NR, he's not a relative. He's just a random guy. Right, three brothers, they're all testifying. Why are they three brothers testifying separately with one guy? Why was this ever happened? So this happens in a specific case. What's the case? The case is of someone is trying to show hazaka on land. We have this case, right? If you are sitting now on a piece of land and you don't have a shtar that says this is my land, right? If I bought the land and I had a contract, great. But let's say I don't have a contract anymore, right? Years ago, I don't know what happened. The cat ate it. Whatever happens to be your particular case. So what can you can have a chazakah. A chazakah is good enough to give you the land if there's no other evidence. Someone else has got some other evidence, and you have zakah separate. But if you've got a chazakah, what's that zakah? proof that you were there for 3 years. If you have proof for 3 years that you were on this land, so that's good. So how do we have? So brothers can't testify together, but in this case, it can. They're not testifying. Why? Because witness number one testifies for year one. Witness number two testifies for year two. And witness number three testifies for year three. Right? I was there in year one. Me and NR were there, and we saw him on the land the whole year. I then went on holiday, and I don't know what happened. Brother comes along and says, year two I was there. He testifies together with him about year two. He was the caretaker, and he was there the whole time. Whatever. And brother number three says, well, I testify against year three. But there are three separate testimonies against, in this case. So he's allowed to be with him, he's allowed to be with him, he's allowed to be with him. They're not together.
It has to be for a separate year, it can't be for the same year.
Yeah, it can't be for the same year, because then it's one test, one set of one right. Cat. One, right? We learned that a cat, one brother saw from this window, one saw from right, it's a cub, right? But they're not, they're talking about separate things. They're not testifying together. So this testimony is allowed. It's acceptable. You can have this. There's no reason to throw this claim out. Right? But what happens, says the Mishnah?
It's a different time.
Huh?
Of year one or the of time?
Three different years.
Let's say you see something. I saw him in 5 o'clock there. No, that's what they say. I saw him in 7. No, that's
what you're testifying.
Let's say it is. Person in his wife. That penalty. And they come witness and they say, we saw him in. I saw him at 5 o'clock in Tel Aviv. And the other father said, I saw him at 7 o'clock in Haifa.
So, yes, because now we're testifying against each other. One's for the prosecution, one's for the defense. They're not together, they're not a cat. They're not two witnesses.
Well, let's say there's two witnesses. They come only two witnesses. They against it, two witnesses.
But they're together. So one says he wasn't there, but then they're not together. Then to be witnesses together, you have to have the same testimony. He has to be saying, yes, I saw him too at 5 o'clock. Because you need two witnesses together. One witness says, I saw him at 5, and then says, I saw him at 4. Then it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't help in the case. So you need two witnesses to prove anything. You can't have one. You can't have, if you have someone who's on trial for a murder.
You can have two witnesses and two witnesses?
Yeah.
You learned this case,
right? Yeah.
So one witness, rather, is there one other person?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. They're not testifying against each other. So that's like this. Here they're not testifying, but they all have to be on the same case. So what does it matter? What's this case relevant? So the Mishnah says that. Hare shlosh eduyot, v'hen edut. Sorry, shlosh eduyot hen. So there are three different types of testimony. So they're all accepted. Right? Three different types. However, edut echad lachazama, but they're considered one edut for the case of hazama. So in one version, in this unique type of case, you can have three different testimonies, but there's only one. They're all together, they're locked together for the question of Hazama. For the case of Hazama, we hold them all together and they're bound together. It's all or nothing. Why? Because Hazama, we learned, you're not Zimul until you do all Zimul together. Why? What's the logic? Why does it matter? Why can't I just be Zimul that pair? I'm not Zimul this pair, right? Because what we're talking about here is these three people are all lying. There's Zama Hazama, they're lying. They're lying that he owned, that he was on the land. Right? They're lying, they're all testifying on behalf of the squatter that it's his land. He went and hired, let's say the cases, he went and hired three guys who three brothers from, right, to come and lie to me. You say you saw year one, you say you saw year two, you say you saw year three. Right, we'll get someone else here, and that'll be enough, right? Three different sets of testimony, you do year one, you do year two, you do year three, and they go, yeah, fine, take money, take money, take money. Now what happens? There's no hazamah in this case unless all of them happen to be zomend. Why? Because the proof that he needs to get the hazakah, which is 3 years, only comes if they're all believed. So he doesn't cause a loss to the real owner. His hazakah is not proven unless all of them are proven together. So just one by itself is not enough to cause, like if we just had Zomem on this group, if we only Zomified this group and said you were found lying, but these ones as far as we know, no reason to suspect them. So the fact that these two were found lying didn't cause any problem. Because by themselves, the fact that you testified them lying falsely that for 1 year he was on the land, it's nice, it's interesting, but it doesn't cause a loss. Because the testimony of the 1 year you had a hazakah doesn't mean that you get the land. It doesn't forfeit the land to the real owner. Only if you can prove all three does that cause a loss. So there's no what you try to do. He wasn't enough by himself to do it. Just like we say in the case of Hazamah, the one person wouldn't by himself be enough to cause the loss. So here too, one testimony by itself is not enough in this particular case. Because in this particular case, you need all three. Otherwise, you've got nothing.
But all you have to do is disqualify NR, and the case falls apart.
One case.
No, because we haven't proven that these are... He falls apart, but they're not zomend.
Right.
Because we haven't proven that him and him also tried to do it. We said that in the case of two witnesses, and one of them falls apart, the case is thrown out. But it doesn't make the other zomend. It doesn't make him zomend. You can't... Even the guy who you proved, who you went against, you made him a zomend. He's not... You're right. We proved he was a zomend. But the other guy... We couldn't touch.
Right, so you just throw out the case.
Just throw out the case. Right, you can't make a zomem. So altogether, to make hazamah, you need all of them.
So you
to make hazamah.
You have to do four.
Yeah.
There are four wins.
Yeah.
When all
lying,
nothing
happens.
Who's lying?
All three. No, if all three are lying, then there's some of them, and we do to them what they try to do to them.
He gets a punishment because of B1.
So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. The Gemara is going to say now that the UC, we're going to get, right, that's the next step of the Gemara. You see that if they wouldn't be zombified, he is going to be punished on account of.
Four, not second way.
Tom, let's see the exact, the way the Gemara, that's the Indian that we're going to deal with. We're going to see the way the Gemara expresses it. Right? But so far, this is the case. Right? This is the case of the Mishnah, that they can testify, but they're not zomified unless you zomify them all. Right? That's the Mishnah. And now, Rava is going to bring this case to ruin our earlier Svara, that we tried to say, we can prove out, he can't testify with him because of a Hazamah. We're going to see why that's the case. We haven't actually got to that conclusion yet, how we see it. But we'll... So let's read it. We'll review if it's not clear. So we said, Harei Elu Shalosh Eduyot. Right? They're three separate Eduyot. They're three separate testimonies. So they can testify in this case. Right? You can have B1, B2, B3 in this case. So the three separate testimonies. The Edut Achad LaHazamah. But they are one considered a single Edut, a single testimony in the case of Hazamah. Okay. Nimsa, therefore, because of this scenario, it turns out Eid Zomem Meshalem Mamon Be'edot Achiv. It turns out that we can have a case where a brother is made to pay up on account of his other brother.
What we're saying,
because of this Mishnah brought as a case of three brothers, and it says that you're allowed to have this as a case, it works. But you should know that they're three separate testimonies, and if you want to make Hazamah, you can make Hazamah, but you need to do all three. So what do we see? We see that we have a case where there is such a thing that a brother, on account of one brother, he is made to pay or kill or die, whatever it is, he's made to pay up on account of the other brother. And we said that you can't do that. We said the proof comes from Zomamim that shows that this can never happen. But it can happen. Again?
Because the Mishnah says it happened.
The Mishnah says it happened. The Mishnah is good. The Mishnah says this is the halacha. The Mishnah wasn't talking about this. It was talking about a different case. But it was saying you can have a case where you have three brothers and they testify and that's good, and you should know that Hazabai is also good, but all of them. And it's talking about something else. Rabbi brings that along and says, you see, you can have Hazabai. Huh?
Two separate kinds of cases.
Doesn't matter. All proof over here. Well, how do we start our proof? We said, how do I know that two brothers, two sons, can't be in the witness box together? I'll show you how I know the case of Hazamah. Hazamah says that if you can't have one, they're not Huzam, they're not Beit Hazamah, unless both of them. If you only have one, they're not Hazamah. You see from here, therefore, that you need both of them to be Hazamah. Therefore, because if you need both of them, it means that one is testifying against the other, one is causing the other, and therefore that can't happen. And therefore you can never have two sons in the witness box together, because that would have a result, could have a result, that one might be Huzam against the other. And we can't allow that. And Rabbi said, what do you mean we can't allow that? I'll show you a case where we do allow that. Yeah, but it doesn't matter why, it doesn't matter that it happens to be someone else in the box. So what, you've got four people here with an NR. You can have a normal case with four witnesses, three brothers and an NR. The same four guys, in a different case. That's what Rabbi's saying. And if those same four guys in a normal case, you need to lose them all. So it's still turning out that one brother is going on account of the other.
You can have four together.
Why?
It's not the same as four separate.
Why not?
Each one is working with the same NR in the second mission.
Yeah. But the end result is the only reason why we're killing this one or making him pay is on account of B2 or B3. And that was our sparrow, that was our logic in the previous case. Right? When you've got two witnesses in the box who happen to be brothers, the only reason one is getting punished is because of his coat, not because he happened to be witnessing with him, only because of the rule which says that you can't be Hazamah until all people are Hazamah. Because of that rule, not because you happen to be in the witness box together and he's testifying next to you. Because then you say, well, he's not testifying next to him. It's not the Samara. The Samara is, you're made a Hazam witness because you've got, because all Hazamah witnesses are dependent on the others.
So by that,
that's a Svara. So because they're all dependent on one another, they're getting their punishment because of the other one.
Why is the Mishnah allowed this?
Allow it? Why not?
Why?
What's wrong?
Yeah, because of this. No. Let's say this.
What's wrong with this? It says this is good. This is a separate testimony. This is a separate
testimony. Yeah, but in the end, when they say the truth, then it's a problem then.
Why the problem?
Because now we have to punish them.
So I was saying, our Svara is wrong. There's nothing wrong with punishing. That's the conclusion now. After learning this Mishnah, we see there's nothing wrong with punishing one on account of the other. Who cares?
If
it's allowed.
It's not
a problem to do that. We thought it was a problem, sorry.
If they're giving different edut.
Yeah. Even if they're giving edut, the reason why you're going to punish me at the end of the day is because of someone else's edut. Because of his edut and because of his edut. You're right. It's got nothing to do with me. I wasn't there. You were testifying on Tuesday. I testified on Monday. Right? But the only reason I actually get punished, And we, our svara was, it wasn't a law halakha. It was a svara that avot can't get punished on account of their sons, and sons can't get on account of their brothers, and therefore you're getting punished on account of him. And that goes against the svara, against the understanding of what's going on.
This is an exception.
This, you have an exception. It breaks the rule.
Doesn't break.
Why?
You could say that the rule is only if they're giving witness together.
But why would you say that?
Saying the same thing.
But why would you say that? That has nothing to do with the svara of being punished on account of him. He's punished on account of him. How they got to be punished on account of the other? You can plug in many different things and say, well, I think this reason, I think that reason. But it's not to do with the svara. The svara is very basic. Punished on account of him. That's the only thing we have. Avot on Balim. That's all we have. We don't have the reason why. So if you're going to hold that svara is good, then it doesn't hold up here. Right, it's a different case, but the svara itself doesn't hold up. You are being punished on account of him. You're right.
The only reason they would...
We're going to see at the end. We're going to have an answer which might clear all this up in terms of the problem that you're now grappling with. How can that not be? Is him? Got him. Let's get to the end.
But the only way
they
can do it is if all four are guilty, right?
Then you can, yeah. If all four are guilty, then you are being punished.
Guilty.
Then it doesn't help.
Right. That's the point.
The point is that you're apparently being punished on account of the testimony of a brother or a son. And that was our logic that we thought was good. And apparently now it's not good.
It's all Let's say you have two children.
Yeah. Brothers.
No, that's not too small children. You make something. You can punish the other because of his father.
What would you mean because of?
Let's say he's seen something and I don't know what.
If he's guilty himself, and he's guilty if he's not guilty.
Maybe the other saw him and he said nothing and then.
So then you have to a person should follow the same rules of that we were taught in all cases. Meaning what? Like what? You shouldn't take testimony of one without the presence of the other. If someone comes along and says he hit me, so you have to bring the other one and say he says he hit you. Did you hit him? You can't take testimony of one without the other one being there and present to rebut it. Right? It's also good for kids. Okay, anyway, back to our... Let's not get sidetracked, because we'll lose our train. What are we saying? So, that's the problem. The problem is, according to this, it seems to break the svara, that one is getting punished on account of the other, and we just said that you can't do that. Ella, rather, what must I say? Hazama mi almakati. Rather, the hazama penalty... is coming from somewhere else. It's not coming from the brother, from the other witness. What's he saying? He's saying like this. We said like this. We said, in a normal case, the problem was like this. Witness one and witness two. And we said, the problem is, if these are two brothers, and one of them is found to be Hazama, then he can't be punished unless the other one is. And then we said, so you see that the testimony of this one is what's causing him to be punished. So the Gemara's conclusion is no, that's not a good logic. It's not on account of him that he's getting the punishment. The reason he's getting the punishment is because two other witnesses came along and said, we saw you and you're lying. That's the reason he's getting the punishment. You're right, there's a law that you can't make Hazama witnesses until you manage to get two of them. But it's not him that's giving you the punishment. He's not causing the punishment. You can't say he's being punished on account of his brother. You're right, he's not punished until his brother's also punished at the same time. That's the laws of the procedure. But it's not on account of. And therefore, it's not the svara that you this. This is not the reasoning.
So then, what? They came together. They don't count them.
But
so
you can't, but not from this reason. Meaning that this is not the reasoning. This is not the reason we thought why two sons can't be together. because we said two sons can't be together, two brothers, because what might happen, they're two witnesses together, and then we see that one is getting punished on account of the other. So the Gemara conclusion is, no, that's not what's happening. If you look here, we wouldn't allow that to happen. But we do allow it. Why do we allow it? Because that's not actually what's happening. He's not getting punished on account of him. He happens to be punished together, and there's a procedural which is that I can't get my punishment unless you're also getting punished as well at the same time. But I'm not on account of you, no. You can't say it's on account of him. And therefore, it doesn't break Avot Ubanim. It's not one that's getting punished on account of the other.
But it doesn't make sense because only one brother would be punished if they were found zonah.
No, no one.
They would have to. They would have to. There would have to be like six sets of witnesses because they're three separate testimonies.
Okay.
Brother one, and non-relative brother two, and non-relative brother three, non-relative. Even if they did brother one and the non-relative.
Yeah.
What about the other two brothers? They aren't related in testimony. They're two different years. I mean, yes, the non-relative would be punished. Well, what does that have to do with the other ones? They'd have to find someone who this is for the other two brothers.
Right, but here the case is that we can't make the Zomerman until we manage to show that they together would have caused the loss. One person by himself testifying doesn't cause a loss.
Or
and here, depending on the case, until you have enough witnesses to make out the claim. Here we need six witnesses or three sets of testimony to make the claim. Until you have enough witnesses, you haven't made your claim. So unless every single person who is witnessing that needs to be witnessing is made his own, then you don't have a claim.
Right, that's the point.
When you witness, you need six persons.
Yeah. But it's not because of him. It's not because of him. That's what the Gemara is pointing out. So here he says, just the last line. Hachanami hazamami amakate. So too here we say that it's not an account of the hazama. Meaning this is not a good proof. So tomorrow, Bezot Hashem, we're going to have to start again and find a different answer for why two people can't be in the witness box together. So far from here, we didn't have it. We tried, and we showed that this is not the way of proving it. This is flawed. Hazama is not the truth. Hazama doesn't work. We're going to have to find a different reason why two brothers or two fathers can't be in the witness box together. Not because of Hazama.